Welcome to part two of our conversation with Sister Kia Lynn Francis. Let's go into the story here where you came home from the hospital. And this is the house that you said it had a demonic infestation. Walk me through the start of that story and walk us through what happened there.
You got it. So this was a new house. It was a new build. Mm-hmm. It was not on special land. There was nothing special about the land that we built it on. There had not been a house on that land prior. It was not indigenous land. It was not near water. There's nothing special about it. Okay. Because people are like, what'd you do? I did not open any portals. Like I said, I wasn't into the paranormal when I was in that house. Mm-hmm. But I had been in the hospital out of 18 months. I spent 9.5 months in the hospital. I had 7 major abdominal surgeries where I was cut from my xiphoid process. So about as high up on your ribs as you can get mm-hmm. to about as low as you can get on your pubic bone. That's how, and I had feeding tubes and nasogastric tubes. And at one point I had 10 tubes running in and out of me. Okay. Mm-hmm. So I was incredibly sick. I had my bowel resectioned many, many, many times. Bed sores, like you name it, I was a mess. And out of those times where I was home from the hospital, I had home care every day and I wasn't functional. And I still had all the tubes and everything else. So I was a train wreck. And, you know, this, and I was splitting open my stomach every time they were doing the surgeries. I was dehissing. They take the staples out and I would pop open, and then they would have to pack me with about probably, how many feet would that be for all of our American friends? About 3 feet worth of gauze to fill one hole, for example. And there was multiple holes. So I would have to have that done every day.
Okay.
Fun times.
Yeah. Sounds
fun
like
times.
It.
Yeah, super fun times. And my feeding tube was leaking, so I had to have a stoma put around it because it was burning me. All the stomach acid was eating the skin around it, and it hurt a lot. So I spent all that time being like more dead than alive, basically.
Okay. Yeah.
And when I started to heal a little bit, I started noticing at night, I wasn't sleeping, obviously. Like, I was in a tremendous amount of pain. I developed fibromyalgia from the from trauma, which I didn't know, but you can do that. And I had chronic pain syndromes and, you know, was always nauseated and blah, blah, blah. But I noticed the house is all hardwood. So I noticed footsteps at night in the hall next to me. And my boyfriend at the time started sleeping in his own bedroom. And became my roommate as opposed to my boyfriend. Mm-hmm. But I would hear footsteps and I'm like, okay. And then in my bathroom, I had an ensuite. I would hear the drawers opening and closing. And then I would hear the sprayer for the bathroom lifting and dropping. I would see shadow figures in a row and they looked hooded. There would be 3 of them. And I would see them in the daytime as well on the walls. And there was 10-foot ceilings in the house. And they were about 8 feet tall. I heard disembodied voices. My son heard disembodied voices. My son had a shadow creature in his room that looked like Spider-Man crouched down in the corner staring at him with its head cocked sideways, and then it would cock it to the other side. And my son said, you know, he was going to turn his flashlight on his phone and looked at it, but he said, you know, I know you always said that stuff, like, you know, from watching paranormal shows, you know, it's like feeding it is fear is like giving it a cupcake. So he said, so I didn't turn my light on, I just ignored it. I'm like, good for you, buddy. But I was thinking, holy crap, like, that's not cool.
Mm-hmm.
I had windows breaking in the house from the inside, knocking on the windows on the outside, like on the second floor. There's nobody out there on the second floor,
yeah.
I guarantee it.
Yeah.
You know, scratching inside the walls. Like, it sounded like claw, like Freddy Krueger nails going down the metal piping. my bed weighed about probably 600 pounds. I had this huge ornate bed and it shook. It vibrated for about 3.5 minutes. I timed it because my cable box was right there. And then I looked up because I don't believe everything is paranormal. You know, like everything that happens at night is not paranormal, and everything that's paranormal is not demonic. You know, I don't just say, oh, well, it's a demon, you know?
Yeah.
Or, oh, it's got to be paranormal. Like, I check stuff out, you know? I'm like, I'm looking for squeaky stuff, and I'm stomping on stuff, and I'm like trying to disprove things. But I looked, and there had been no seismic activity whatsoever because we are on a fault line.
Sure.
And there had been none for 6 months. So, and plus nothing else in the room moved, just my bed, right? Mm-hmm. With me on it. I was waking up with bruises on my legs, like finger mark size. And I would wake up, I was sleeping in the middle of a queen size bed, and I'm not a mover at all, but I would wake up with my leg on the floor holding me in bed because the other leg would be in the bed. But like my butt would be off of it even. Mm-hmm. And like in a very provocative position, shall we say.
Sure.
And and like bruises from my, oh, my cats are into nuts. Stop it, you guys. And bruises everywhere, you know, not just one or two, like I'm talking like probably like 30 bruises that were all over me. And that happened multiple times. So that's, like I said, I never set up a camera.
Yeah.
I didn't want to see, what was going on.
When all this is going on, do you at this moment, are you thinking this is obviously something paranormal? I mean, are you thinking demonic right away?
Not right away. No. Okay. Because I'm just like, something's screwing with me, mm-hmm. you know, and it's like, it's how do you react to it?
Yeah.
And it didn't scare me, to be honest with you. It made me angry. I'm like, you're just being a bully. Mm-hmm. You're trying to scare me. And, you know, like I got teased when I was a kid and I got picked on and I was kind of a loner and kind of chubby and stuff. So it felt very much like that. And I thought, you jackass. Like, you know, don't you pick on my kid, for one. Like, that is a no-no. Stay away from my kid. And I made a mistake of saying, like, don't mess with him, mess with me. Like, I invited it in. Mm-hmm. So you don't invite something into you. You know what I'm saying? Like,
yeah.
you don't invite something into you. I did, but I did. And it did essentially leave my child alone. There was a couple of incidences. Like it whispered in his ear one day when he was home by himself. Like he was 13 and it was like 4 o'clock in the afternoon, and it went hey in his ear, and it terrified him. I got home and he was sitting there with a butcher knife, like just like, well, buddy. Mm-hmm. You know, I felt bad for him even after the night crawler, I called it. You know, he went through that, but the voice really freaked him out. You know, and we had a lot of pictures falling off the walls and breaking, or they'd be off the wall and set down gently, like face down in a weird way. Mm-hmm. Screens that would pop off the windows and go flying and almost hit the cats. Stuff that was like happening with, I'm trying to think what else. I did a reading with like Kanzari cards. Mm-hmm. And it said that there was an entity in the basement, and like it was confirming stuff that I thought was going on, you know. Mm-hmm. And I had people in the house, and they're like, yeah, I just saw a shadow person. Like, you know, I had a friend over that had really dark skin, and the person thought it was them, but mm-hmm. it was a shadow person. They were on a different floor.
So you know? this thing really seemed to be out to torment.
It was like, it was not nice. And like when I was doing studying to up my skills, it was like, it was very aggressive, and like it was coming through with my automatic writing. Mm-hmm. And it was like saying things like, I can't really like use the language that it was saying, but essentially it was saying like, I own you. I watch you when I sleep. You're mine. Mm-hmm. Like, it was saying very sexual things. Like it was almost like an incubus in that sense. Like, and, you know, we did an investigation with the show, The Other Side, at the house. And that was just like kicking a hornet's nest, basically. And, you know, I made sure my son was going to be, and I figured that's what was going to happen. So I made sure my son was nowhere around the house for, he went with his dad for 3 weeks or so in the summer, because I knew it was going to cause trouble, and it didn't rid the house of anything. It just made whatever was there incredibly angry, and the poltergeist activity went nutty, and it was trying to oppress me at that time. And like, I was saging the house and I was salting the house before, and if anything happened, I would be like, okay, you want to play? And I would like salt the house like crazy. I would sage the house like crazy, just from reading, you know, about what to do kind of thing. And I would burn white candles, and I would say prayers, the St. Michael prayer. I say it in Latin. I got scratched, you know, the typical three scratches that were dripping like serous fluid. Holy heck, it hurt. You know, that kind of thing. And like pot lids rattling, and just anyway, all your typical like nasty haunting business going on. And it came to a point where it was like, we came to an impasse, and it was like, if you don't mess with me, I'm not going to sage the crap out of the house and salt it. And it's like, I was bothering it enough that it just stopped bothering me. You know what I'm saying? Like, we came, like, it was still there and it would do things. And then when I decided to sell the house, it started to act up again. So I had Father come in and do a house clearing before I sold the house. And it was kind of funny because I didn't tell him what room was my room. And my room was like, I called it the Thunderdome. And he walked in my room and he just went, oh, well, I won't say what word he used, but it was four letters and started with an F.
You can swear on the show. Don't worry. There's no, okay. language issues here.
He walked into my bedroom. He put his hands on my bed and he went, holy fuck, who sleeps in here? And I'm like, this will be the Thunderdome. This is my room. And he was like, oh my word. He's like, this is awful. I'm like, yep, this is my room. Yep. So get blessing.
Yeah.
You know, like, so he did a blessing on my house, and he was just like white as a ghost when he was finished. He felt terrible. And anyway, he cleaned it out and did a good job, and I sold it, and I made sure like that I salted and saged and, you know, cleaned it out for the next people and holy watered it. And I would use things from all faiths to cleanse it, you know. And
do you think it was gone by the time you signed the papers off to the next people?
Yeah, I do. Okay. I think it was gone. And I made sure before I moved into my new house that my new house was like had the exorcism salt surrounding the property, and like the door frames and everything was like blessed before it came in to the house, because I just wanted to make sure, you know,
sure,
that it was that it was really well sealed, and that there was nothing here from the people that owned it before. That kind of thing. But because of what I am, and because I always say like I'm a crap magnet, there's always spirits. And I've had a medium tell me that at any given time there's probably 15 spirits trying to get into your house. My son is also an empath, so they know that we can hear them and smell them and, you know, all that, feel them and all that jazz, so that they want to come in. So I seal the house really well, but every now and again, you know, stuff gets in, and then we have to do a blessing on the house. And
is it because they know that you can sense them and you can smell them, feel them, all of that, that they choose to come to you? Things that are benign, things that are good, things that are bad, you know, all of the above, essentially. It's just, this person can sense us, and that's why you're kind of a magnet for it.
Yeah, and plus negative stuff too. And like, I have to be careful when I do investigations, not to bring stuff home. And, you know, and my son is actually bad for bringing stuff home, because he doesn't know how to control his gifts as well as he should yet. Yeah. He's learning.
Sure.
He just turned 18, but he's incredibly empathic. And I'm teaching him. I've been teaching him since he was 13, but he's, you know, he's still learning. It's a process, right? So, we work on that. But there's a ton of blessed stuff in the house, and I have holy oil and holy water, and I have Eucharist, and I have selenite, and I have blessed salt lamps. Father blessed my salt lamps, so I put those on, and try and raise vibrations. And selenite, selenite's a stone that raises vibration. You won't sleep if it's anywhere near your bed because it raises the vibration so high. And I have towers of those and stuff like that. So, I'm kind of a crazy mix of things because I am a Reiki master. If I was part of the Catholic Church that was under the Vatican, they would excommunicate me because they don't believe in Reiki. Mm-hmm. As far as I'm concerned, it does good.
Yeah.
And it's like, know me by my works. And, it's been around for 101 years. And with the lineage, I can trace my lineage back to Dr. Usui, who is the original Reiki master. I have 25 Reiki masters between me, myself, and Dr. Usui. So my Reiki is very pure and it's very strong and it's been taught properly because that's pretty pure. If there's only 25 masters between the actual originator of Reiki and then myself.
It's interesting.
That have learned it.
And it kind of tells you almost something, genetically in the DNA. There might be a reason all those people found an interest in that at some point for, sensitivity that, maybe this is something that, kind of runs, in your DNA.
Yeah. And I mean, it's healing,
yeah.
And I've done work on people that I didn't know that they had carpal tunnel and wore braces all the time at night and had been doing it for 5 years, and I treated them and they didn't need their braces. I treated them once and they didn't need their braces for 4 months, mm-hmm. And that kind of thing. So if it helps and it heals, I can't see that that's a bad thing.
That wraps up part two of our conversation with Sister Kia Lynn Francis. A big thank you to her for coming on the show and sharing her experiences with us. And thank you to you for supporting the program and keeping us on the air. We could not do it without you. Until next time, for The Grave Talks, I'm Tony Bruschi. Thanks for listening.